to go back to that old country church to hear the songs of praise. How the people would sing, it would make the rafters ring at that old country church. Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Oh, I'll never forget at that old country church how the glory of the Lord came down. And the children would smile as they shouted down the aisle of that old country church. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Then on Sunday I'd see all my friends dear to me at that old country church. When it came time for prayer, everybody would be there at that old country church. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now the years have gone by, and so many have died at that old country church. But they're on the other shore, where they'll sing forevermore, as they did at that old country church. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed at that old country church.
That's a fitting song for tonight. Thank you so much for that. Matthew 26, please find that passage, that chapter. We'll begin in just a moment on verse number 36. We'll get you a moment to find the passage, and then we'll stand in honor of God's word tonight and get into our message for the evening. Matthew 26, and shouldn't be too difficult there. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Follow along as I begin in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to speak tonight on 1 hour with Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be in church, have a Bible, and have a spirit like the Holy Ghost who would come and help us enjoy our fellowship with you and with each other together. Lord, we had a wonderful morning service, and we don't deserve another visitation from on high, from you, but we would sure enjoy one. And we would ask one, Lord, on the basis of your mercy, not our merit. And we thank you that we have a book that speaks to our heart. Help me as I preach a little bit from it tonight. May we all be encouraged, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Next Saturday, July the 1st, we will start over as we continue our theme for the year of consecration restoration. That matter now, reminding us again, consecration, filling the hand of God, filling God's hand. And we have taken 6 elements of the Christian life and given an emphasis to one of those for the past 6 months. So we're starting over again in July. And as we did in January, our emphasis for the month of July is going to be on the matter of prayer, filling the hand of God when it comes to prayer. Now, you recognize this passage as part of what we call the Passion of Christ. It's included in that great big subject, the Passion of Christ. He had just finished having the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And the Bible says that after that, he led them to a garden called Gethsemane. Now, this was a garden of olive trees. Some of you that were in church years and years and years ago might remember an old hymn called "Neath the Old Olive Trees." And that was a reference to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a garden of olive trees. It was located at the bottom or the foot of the Mount of Olives. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus went to that garden often. So it wasn't a strange location to him. The Bible says he went there often. Now Jesus went there on this occasion for the purpose of praying. His soul was sorrowful. His soul was heavy. Now, I don't think for 1 minute that Jesus was attempting to back out of the crucifixion. When he prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me if it be possible," I don't think he was withdrawing from the crucifixion. He came to die. He came to lay down his life. That's why he came. He said that over and over again. And now it's that time. I think there's a couple of things that contributed to his sorrow. Number one, as he was completely all human, he knew the suffering of the crucifixion. Crucifixions were common forms of death in the Roman government. And the Bible in the Philippians talks about that Christ subjected himself, became obedient to death, and then it goes on to specify even the death of the cross, because that was an unusually cruel and inhumane method or form of death. It was horrible. And when you read the story of the crucifixion, you pick up on just how horrible it was. And as a human, Jesus suffered that as if you and I would suffer it. He didn't employ some special deity to exempt him from the physical suffering. So if your face had been slapped, and if your face had been spit in, and if your beard had been plucked out by the hands of soldiers, and if you had been whipped with a cat of nine tails and then nailed to a cross, that's what you and I would have felt, is exactly what Jesus felt. And so there was this dreadful expectation of the physical suffering of the cross. And then number two, as he was completely divine, he also knew the terrible price of paying our sin debt meant that he would be separated in fellowship from his Father. And we've talked about that before at Lord's Supper time, how that God turned his back on his own Son, and for the first time from eternity past. We can't wrap our minds around that, folks. Eternity past. There never has been a time from eternity past that God and his Son weren't in full and perfect fellowship with each other until those few minutes on the cross at Calvary. And he knew that was coming. I think that's what contributed to his prayer. I think that's what contributes to his sorrow, what contributes to his heaviness. And so he's coming to this place with his disciples, 11 of them now, because Judas has gone on to do his act of treachery and treason and betrayal. And so he brings the disciples in. He leaves 8 of them in a certain place. And he takes Peter, James, and John a little further in. And then you come to verse number 38. Look what he tells them. "Then he saith unto them," Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now, he did not ask them to keep a lookout. That's not what he's talking about. That doesn't mean be on guard and look out for the Roman soldiers. When he said, "Watch with me," what he meant was, "Pray with me." It's nighttime. I'll give you that in just a moment. It's probably maybe 8 to 9 o'clock in the evening, okay? And he says, "Don't go to sleep. It's been a long day and it's been traumatic, but I don't want you to sleep. I want you to stay awake and I want you to pray with me. Look at what he says. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then the Bible says that he went a little further in verse 39. So now he's alone and he begins to pray those well-known words in verse 39 that I just referred to. Oh, my Father. In just a few hours, he would be referring to his Father as God. My God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He never referred to the Father by the name of God at any other time. That's when the Lord turned his, when God the Father turned his back on his Son. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And after he prayed, the Bible tells us in verse number 40 that he came back to the disciples, the three, Peter, James, and John, and he finds them asleep. He'd asked them not to sleep, but he finds them asleep. And so he says to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? So this tells me that he prayed for an hour. He wanted to pray for an hour. And he asked those disciples, please stay awake and pray with me for the next hour. Now I want to give you three thoughts from this tonight and we're done. Number one, I want you to look at the expectation. The expectation is found in verse number 40 when he said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Folks, from the question that Jesus asked, it's evident that he expected them to join him in this hour of prayer. He wanted them to pray with him. And when you examine the teaching of Christ in other scriptures, you recognize readily that he expects his followers to pray. Let me remind you of the wording in Matthew 6 and verse 5. When Jesus was teaching on the subject of prayer, he said this, when thou prayest. In verse 6, when thou prayest. In verse 7, when ye pray. In verse 9, after this manner therefore, pray ye. In Luke 11, 2, when ye pray. Folks, it is obvious from what Christ said. He never said if, he said when. Because that's what's expected of his followers. The Lord Jesus expects his followers to pray. He expected that out of Peter, James, and John. And Jesus still expects that out of his followers today. Just like I was thinking about the wedding, you know, and just like a bride and groom would expect to speak to each other every day, Jesus no doubt expects us to speak to him on a daily basis. I remember years ago, I had the privilege of hearing B.R. Lakin. I doubt very many of you ever got to hear B.R. Lakin. Some of the older folks might have heard him. He was a circuit riding preacher. He started out in the mountains of West Virginia and Virginia in the Blue Ridge Mountains, riding donkey or horseback from village to village to village, preaching. Years later, he became a close friend of Jerry Falwell. And I heard B.R. Lakin say that one day he was riding in Jerry Falwell's personal jet. I guess they had a jet out there. It's probably if some of you sent money for bricks, probably ended up going to the jet. But anyway, he was riding on that jet over the hills of West Virginia and he looked out the window and he remembered those days of riding that donkey and that mule, whatever he rode, from village to village. And he said, I thought to myself, you've come a long way, baby. And so I can remember him saying that. And he was quick-witted. And somebody, he made mention one time that being an evangelist, he called his wife every day or night when he was on the road. Called her every day, every night when he was on the road. And somebody came up to him afterwards and said, Dr. Lakin, isn't that a little bit expensive to call your wife every day, every night? And Brother Lakin said, well, it's cheaper than alimony. And so, but that's what he said. And what is that? That's what's expected of husbands and wives. You know, when I'm out traveling, you know, when you're apart from your spouse, you long for that fellowship. I hate to be gone apart from my wife. I've done it, but I miss her. And I desire to speak with her. And when I'm out traveling, and Joyce will tell you, I call her at least 2 times a day, maybe sometimes 3. I call her when I get up in the morning after my devotions. I call her a lot of times while I'm getting dressed to go to the service, putting my tie on. And I call her when I get home, unless the time change makes it too late. And I miss her. And I know she misses me. I know she's waiting for the phone to ring. And so we talk to each other Because that's what's expected. Now listen, I realize that we are never apart from Jesus Christ, but none of us has ever seen Him face to face. And I think it stands to reason that His followers would want to talk to Him a little bit every day. I'll tell you this much, He wants to talk to us. And He wants us to talk to Him. That's what's expected. That's what He wanted here. Fellas, pray with me. Pray with me. And so that's the expectation, friend. And it's still the expectation today. The expectation is that Jesus wants us to pray. He never said if. In teaching up about prayer, He always said when, when, when. As if it was expected that His people would have a time where they would talk to Him in prayer. Number two, I want you to look at the temptation. Look at the temptation in verse number 41. This is what He said after He asked him, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray, stay awake and pray, that you enter not into temptation. That you enter not into temptation. Now the temptation, more than likely, is a reference to the temptations that they were about to encounter as the passions of Christ went further. Hey, the soldiers were coming, and the illegal trial was coming, and the false accusations, and the identification of being a follower of Christ, and all of the vitriol, and all of the hatred that was going to be spewed out on Jesus was going to be spewed out on them as well. Peter, he especially was about to be sifted by Satan, and praying for that hour would have prepared them for the temptation ahead. I wonder how many temptations we could have conquered had those temptations been preceded by even a brief time of prayer. Ever wonder about that? You know, folks, listen, temptation is a part of the MO of the devil. That's his mode of operation. And he's good at it. He's slick. He's good at traps. He's good at snares. He is good at catching us off guard. He is good at catching us at our weakest point. He's good at that. I remind you that when in the book of Job, when Satan presented himself before God and God brought up the subject of the man Job, Satan did not have to consult with any of his devils or cohorts. He knew all about Job. Now, he's not omniscient in the way God is all-knowing, but I got a hunch that Satan pretty much knows my weaknesses and he knows your weaknesses. And I wonder sometimes how many temptations could be avoided or conquered if they were just preceded by even a little time of prayer. Hey, look, these guys were already tired physically. They'd had a long night. They had a long rest of the night and a long day ahead of them. You know what this was, folks? It was the perfect setup. The perfect setup. And there it was for a temptation, a strong, well-timed, well-placed temptation. The little kids in our junior Sunday schools and classes, primary church, I'm sure occasionally they sing the song that we used to sing. Maybe you used to sing. I didn't sing it as a little boy. The devil is a sly old fox, and he is. He's a sly old fox. He's conniving. He knows our weaknesses. He has an MO. And brother, I just tell you, I wonder how much temptation could be conquered and overcome if God's people would just spend a little time in prayer before the onslaughts of Satan come our way. Listen, I personally believe that there are specific times in our lives where we can expect temptation. If you're tired physically, if you're sick physically, if you're going through a valley, you can expect temptation. He's not a boxer. He's a street fighter. There's a big difference in getting in a ring with rules and regulations and a referee and padded gloves and having a boxing match. There's a big difference in that and having a street brawl. In a street brawl, it's a brick. It's brass knuckles. It's a stick. It's whatever you could put your hand on. It's not just punching, it's kicking, it's gouging, it's biting, it's elbowing. And that's how he fights. That's how he comes at us. He is a street fighter. How much temptation could be avoided if God's people spent just a little time in prayer? Proceeding. So you see the expectation. Then you see the temptation. I want to finish tonight, number three, with the realization. The realization. Now, I want you to look at verse number 41. The very end of the verse is the realization, folks. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the realization. We're not talking here about people who knew nothing about Jesus. We're talking here about the three men who were in the inner circle. If you want to call them the three that were closest to Jesus Christ, Peter, James, and John, that's them. It doesn't matter. I don't care how long a person has been following Christ, the flesh is always weak. Always weak. And do you realize what these men had vowed earlier on? In Matthew chapter 20, James and John were walking with Jesus. You talk about embarrassing. Their mother came to Jesus. I mean, they're there. These are grown men. And their mom comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, can these boys sit on your right hand and on your left hand when you set up the kingdom? I would have been mortified. Wouldn't you be mortified? I remember as a boy, I was probably sixth grade. You know, volleyball has changed so much over the years. When I first started playing volleyball, in PE and stuff like that, they would have sometimes 12, 9 people on a side. This 6-on-6 stuff, I don't know how long it's been going on. I think it's great. I think it's a great game. But it's advanced so much through the years. And, we were doing something. We played a game. It was either intramural or against another school. But I'm a kid. I'm like one of these young boys pulling these wagons around here tonight. And, you know, and I get the ball, and I start serving it, and I serve like 12 points in a row. And 12 took it. Those serves took us to the end of the game, and we won. And I served like, and it wasn't overhand. It was just dunk. 12 in a row. I kid you not. I'm glad Mom's not here tonight. My mother came running out on the court at the end of the game and hugged me. I felt like, go away. Wouldn't you feel that way? Don't you love your mother? Yes, but not then, not now. I want to give a high five to some of my friends. I don't need a hug from my mother. She came running out there. I never forget that. I haven't forgiven her for it. I'm still bitter. So, but I mean, James and John, and Mom comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, can these boys sit on your on one on your right hand, one on your left?" And the Lord turns to the boys and he says, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I should drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Are ye able?" If I'd been James or John, I'd have said, "Jesus, we love our mom, but she's lost her mind." Wouldn't you say that? But they said, "We're able." "We're able, yes, sir." Wait a minute, do you realize what Jesus asked them? "Drink of the cup that I shall drink of." Well, this is it. This is the cup. That's what he prayed in verse number 39. "Let this cup." So we're starting into it. Are you able? Oh yeah. Count me in. And Jesus had just prior to this, before they went to the garden, talked to Peter. And Peter had vowed. Listen to what Peter said. "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." He said that moments before this. Moments. And this is Peter, James, and John. This is not Judas. It's Peter, James, and John. Were they sincere? Was their spirit willing? But the flesh. Were you here this morning? Were you in this building this morning? Some of you were out in other places. There it is again. The oldest and the closest enemy that anybody in this room has. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's us. The flesh. That old Adamic sinful nature, not this physical fleshly body, but this old physical Adamic sinful nature that's referred to as the flesh in the Bible. The flesh is weak. Never forget that, people. Even though our spirits may soar. I mean, you know, a service like this morning, just unusual. If you didn't sense that, you need to get plugged in somewhere, okay? You know, but you have something like that and you leave here thinking, man, I'm fixed for the week. You're not fixed for tomorrow. Some of us weren't fixed for this afternoon. Why? The flesh is weak. It's weak. It's horrible. It's the oldest enemy, the closest enemy, and all these promises and all these sincere intentions and all this I'm going to and I want to, and yet right behind that comes this aggressive, horrible enemy known as the flesh, and it's weak, and the flesh wants nothing to do with sacrificial living, and the flesh wants nothing to do with dedicated service. So what's the answer? What he said? He said, pray. Prayer's the answer. Prayer is what makes it possible. Through prayer, the Spirit is strengthened, and prayer makes it possible for us to fulfill our duties. I've said this before, and I say it, I'm ashamed, but I say it transparently, and I know it's the case because many of you have talked, we've talked about it. The single element of the Christian life that I have the most difficulty with is a consistent, fervent prayer time. I can read my Bible, no problem. Hit prayer time and have to fight to stay awake. Embarrasses me. It's not just the devil that fights it. It's our flesh. Because through prayer, the Spirit of God is strengthened. I can't wrap my mind all around that. But Jesus said it through prayer. Prayer is that medium through which our spirit is encouraged and built up. And the flesh is just always there. It's always just there. There's just a constant pull downward, constant, just like the law of gravity. Never goes away. And if we're not careful, we go day after day after day with no fervent prayer time. Brent, the realization is that the flesh is weak when it comes to living for God. I cannot live for God apart from a little time in prayer. Neither can you. Can't be done. Won't be done. It's impossible. And people, God's people, struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And we get down to, you know, what about prayer time? Well, you know, I try to do this and I try to do that. Folks, and I'm not preaching down to you. I'm transparent. It's just a constant battle. It's constant. It's a constant fight. I think about the song. Look at your songbook, 388. Look at the song here that somebody wrote, 388 in your songbook. Tonight, look here just for a minute. Ladies, you can play this. We might sing a verse toward the end of the invitation in just a minute. 388. But somebody wrote these words, and what a beautiful song it is. But more than just the melody of the song, look at the words here. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you ask for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Folks, you talk to evangelists. Talk to evangelists who frequent independent Baptist churches. You know what they'll tell you if you ask them? What are some of the major problems? What are some of the major areas of trouble in our churches? I'll promise you, you're going to hear bitterness over and over and over and over and over. People get their feelings hurt because somebody said something, somebody did something. Oh yeah, I'm not gonna let this get the best of me. I'm gonna get over this. Not without him. Not without prayer. That's what this verse is talking about. Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? You say, well, they didn't ask for it. You know, you can forgive somebody who never asked you. You can let it go. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates today? I love the chorus. Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Because the realization is the flesh is weak. Now, in the month of July, we want to feel God's hand in the matter of praying. So here's what we got, a couple of things planned for this month. And I hope that you'll take part in this as much as possible. First of all, next Sunday, we're going to continue on with the Boiler Room prayer time on Sunday nights. 7-8 minutes long is all we do, just get together. You know what blessed me tonight? I prayed with Brother Scott. I got up here, ready to close it in prayer. I look out, I see three teenage boys still on their knees praying together. That thrills me. That thrills me. So we'll keep the Boiler Room prayer time. We're going to bring back the prayer calendar for the month of July next Sunday. You'll get a new prayer calendar, which will have the names of our missionaries and the ministries of the church. And just you pray for so many of them on certain days of the month and praying for all those people and ministries throughout the month of July. And then we want to create, and you'll see this, on the back of your announcement sheet on that calendar part. We've created four special times for prayer during the month of July, starting next Saturday night. As many men and boys who want to join us right here in the auditorium at 8 p.m., we're going to meet, we're going to pray for 1 hour. 1 hour with Christ. 1 hour with Jesus. Look, I know it's summertime. I know we got vacations. I know people are coming and going. That's part of it. That's okay. You know what? I'm not worried about numbers. I'm more concerned that the ones who do show up meet with Jesus. I'm not worried about it. I've told you before, remind you again, that Brother Coral said years ago to Brother Fugit and myself, he said, fellas, you can't plan a church calendar for carnal people. Carnal people aren't going to get involved in anything. He said, you got to plan something that will feed your spiritual people. And I'm not insinuating that if you men can't come, we're just throwing it out there. We're going to meet here. I don't want anybody coming in on Sunday feeling ashamed or, oh, man, if you can come, we're going to meet here next Saturday night, 8 o'clock, pray for 1 hour right here in the auditorium as a group of men. And boys are welcome to come as well. 2 weeks later, on the 15th of July, Saturday morning, 8:30, a men's prayer breakfast. We'll get together, fellas, have a good time with some food like we did back in January, and we'll spend a little time in prayer after that. And then that same evening at 7 o'clock, we want to let the ladies have a turn. Ladies and girls, come at 7 o'clock, have a little prayer time here in the auditorium. If you don't make an hour, that's okay, but the goal is to pray together for an hour. Just and maybe sharing prayer requests. We'll set up some kind of a little, agenda for the prayer meeting. But it's just basically the agenda is spending an hour with Christ. Spending an hour with Christ. And then the last Saturday of the month, the 29th, back to men and boys prayer at 8 p.m. That's four special times for prayer in the month of July. The Saturday evening prayer times that we'll have in this and the breakfast. And what do we want to do? We just want to watch and pray with the Lord Jesus for 1 hour. 1 hour. Those of you fellows that have been around here for several years, we used to do that every Saturday night. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. Every Saturday night, from about 8 to 9 o'clock, we prayed here. We had some wonderful prayer meetings. And it's gotten busy. We changed that, just the busyness and everything. But I don't think it hurts us 1 month just to fill God's hand in the matter of prayer. You know what I hope it'll do? I hope it'll boost my prayer time and your prayer time at home. Just a little time with Jesus could make all the difference for our spiritual walk. Just a little time with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the privilege of praying. God, we readily admit and confess to you that we need help in this area. We readily admit that. We are weak. Our flesh is horrible weak. You told us it was, and we confess and admit and agree with you 100%. Help us this month to fill your hand in the matter of prayer. Speak to our hearts about it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you can't come, you live a distance away, then maybe on Saturday night, those three Saturday nights, you can just meet with your family and just have prayer. We almost scheduled cottage prayer meetings and probably would have if it hadn't been so distracted in the last month or so. But if you live in the area with somebody and on those Saturday nights, you don't want to make the long drive to church, just get together and have a time of prayer, or just with your family, spending 1 hour with Jesus. I'm not going to ask a raise of hands, but I would expect that most of us need help in this area. May God help us to fill his hand when it comes to praying. Just a few minutes when we stand, they're going to be playing the song, Did You Think to Pray, for the invitation. If God spoke to your heart tonight, if you need to get saved or baptized, you obey the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. As they play, while you stand, you obey the Lord tonight. 1 hour with Jesus, what a difference that might make. The river.